It's 26 minutes to 11 alive, 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren, and I'm solo for the next half hour, but that's okay. I can run it for you. After 11 o'clock, we will have a few pre-records where Jim joins myself with our guests after the top of the hour. But do stay around. We are talking all things history, remembrance, and there will be a room stage service just before the top of the hour with silence at 11 a.m. Now, Alive 90.5 is located on the Borkum Heights estate here in Borkum Hills. And if you haven't been here, you may not know all the significance of what Borkum Heights estate is. And often you'll hear Masonic homes and what that means. And so rather than me, who don't know so much about this, I've been with Alive for a couple of years and around the area for a while, but not specifically knowing about the Borkum Heights estate. So we've invited Connie Keith, the chairperson of the Borkum Heights Estate S355 committee, to come and join us this morning on the line to share more about what it is here at Borkum Heights and the history and a few stories as well. Good morning, Connie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the line to share more about the Borkum Heights Estate. So what is the history of this estate, which I believe is nearly 100 years old, so 98 years this year, I believe, or even today?
Yes, that's correct. In fact, the centenary of the opening is coming up on the 11th of November in 2022. So it was opened on 11th of November in 1922, but of course, before it was set up before that, and it was as I understand it, it was basically a result of the need that existed in the community for families that had been impacted by World War One. Children and families where the father had either been had died in the war or had been maimed in some way, and they needed help to be able to live. So it was, I guess you would call it, basically it was set up as a school for orphans and other children in need. So the lodge members of the Freemasons had established a charity, and they decided to buy a rather large package of land in about 168 acres, I believe, at Borkum Hills. And there they established this virtually self-sustaining community. It had buildings which had which housed the children, but it had all sorts of other facilities such as assembly hall, gymnasiums, laundry, staff cottages, teachers' cottages, a hospital, etc., etc. And most importantly, it also included a primary school. So the children lived in the cottages. There were five girls' cottages and five boys' cottages. Their primary schooling was done there on the estate. And my understanding is that there was also a lot of farmland in the area of this location. Children worked on the farms as well, dairy farms, etc. So yes, that's basically the a summary of of the history.
So it's quite significant history. I understand the building where I'm sitting in and broadcasting from was one of those dormitories, I think, for the girls.
It was one of the girls' cottages, yes.
Yes.
That's correct. Yes, you're in building...
Nine. We're in building nine here,
it?
That's right.
Yes.
We share it
building
with the boxing club.
Building nine was a girls' cottage, and its original name was Famous. So there you go.
Famous. We're famous. Oh, I have to remember that.
Yes.
I learn something new every day. That's quite intriguing. Now, I also understand that as part of the history of the estate, it wasn't always a school, and it was sanctioned or taken over for other needs, especially for World War II. Can you tell us a little bit about that period as well?
Yes. So, when World War II broke out, I believe that there was concern that the armed forces would need general hospitals because of the threat of a Japanese invasion. So the estate was taken over by the army and became the 103rd General Hospital. And if my sources are correct, or if my memory is correct, as far as I know, I believe Sir Roden Cutler, one of our previous governors, was actually rehabilitated there because he had a war injury. So yes, at that time the children were taken out to the country to various cottages while the army took it over. Then after that period when it was the General Hospital, it reverted back to the Masons, it reverted back to being the Masonic schools. But by that time, things in society had changed. There was more assistance for families. And so it became, and as well, the buildings, etc., were needing a lot of maintenance. So the Masons decided that perhaps they would need to sell the estate, and it was purchased in 1973, I believe, by the then Borkham Hills Shire Council. But I believe some of the land had been sold off to raise funds. And at the time of the purchase, it was around 16 hectares, I think. I may be wrong with that figure. Don't quote
so,
me on
so
that.
It reduced down a bit.
Reduced.
Yeah, much reduced.
Yes.
But so that's interesting, because the original estate must have been quite grand, because I consider this area to be quite large at the moment, because it goes through from Seven Hills Road right through to what is Cropley Drive as well. And so
yes, that 16 hectares, I've just realised that was incorrect. It started as 168 acres, which was 16 hectares. And it was reduced. It was reduced down. Look, I'm sorry. I can't.
No, no, that's fine. But it's interesting to hear that story as well. You're on Spotlight, Alive 90.5 with Jim and Darren, and we're speaking with Connie Keith, the chairperson of the Borkham Heights Estate here in Borkham Hills. We're just going to go to a short break, and then we'll come back and hear more about Remembrance Day stories as we lead into our Remembrance Day service.
Live
90.5, 12 minutes to 11. You're on Spotlight with Jim and Darren, and I'm talking with Connie Keith, the chairperson of the Borkham Heights Estate S355 Committee, talking all things of the history of the estate and also history of Remembrance Day and stories like that. So, Connie, one thing I want to congratulate you on a wonderful moving service that took place here on Sunday morning. I know many people could not attend due to COVID, but it was live streamed and I did watch it, and I congratulate you and all those involved to put together such a moving service.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, it is a service that has been going on since 2007. And I generally do most of the organising, but there are other people at council that work with us and provide the funding, more importantly, because as an S355 committee, we're a voluntary committee and don't have our own funds. But it seems to work very well, and a lot of people really appreciate the fact that we're able to do that, because the important thing about this, one of the important things about the estate, not the only important thing, is the fact that there are actually three memorials on it. And the World War One memorial, which is where we hold the service, is at the head of an avenue of memorial trees, which were planted by the children that lived at the Masonic schools, one for each of 364 Masonic soldiers who fell in the First World War. And it's, if anyone hasn't seen it, it's absolutely magnificent, and people should come and just have a walk around the estate, because that is possible. It is a community facility. Mm. It has become a community facility since I'm not quite sure when things were fixed up and community groups started to come in, but after it's purchased by the council. One thing that I wanted to point out, Darren, was that in my mind, and one of the reasons that I am very much involved in the organising of the remembrance service, is that apart from honouring what has gone on in the past, this facility, this whole facility, the Balcombe Heights Estate, started off as a facility that was serving the community in helping all of these families, in helping these children. And at the moment, now it has become a community facility, and it's still providing service. There are so many community groups, not-for-profit and charitable organisations that run from there that provide great services to the community. And if I have time, I would like to name some of them. But first of all, regarding the memorials, apart from the World War One memorial, there is also a World War Two memorial, which also has names. It's also a Vietnam memorial, and there is also a tablet there commemorating the period when the army was housed on the estate. The estate itself, though, has ovals, it has a dog park, it has playgrounds, it has barbecue facilities, and these particular organisations that serve the community in so many ways. The SES is based there. There's a group that provides medical equipment for people who need it. There's St John's Ambulance. There are groups such as boxing groups, model railway groups, pottery groups. There is a museum on the estate. I'm not sure if you knew of that, but
that's
just
up the road from us, I think, here on the estate. Yes, and Building 10.
Building 10.
Yes.
Building 10, right next to you. So the cottages, the original cottages, are leased by these various organisations, but as well as that, because there is there are two halls on the estate, plus various other rooms. There are other also casual groups that work out of there. So there is the Hills Musical. I've forgotten their name. It's a band. Sorry, I should know the name, because Gary isn't one of our committee members. The Hills Music Academy. Sorry, it slipped my mind for a moment. There are ballet groups. There's before and after school care. There are play groups. And the list goes on.
And so much. So, and there's the fields, and there's sporting here, yes, and there's the dog park, yes, and the skate park, exactly, which was opened up in the last
the skate
couple
park.
Of years.
Let's not forget yes. that. Yes.
So great lot of facilities for the community, which is fabulous.
There are many, many facilities for the community, and the role of the committee in all of this is to try and advise council on things that need doing on the estate, and to represent the people that are based on the estate, and how things can be continually improved.
That's fabulous, and Connie. We've got about a minute before we're going to go to Remembrance Day. So is there anything that you just want to put there as a thought about Remembrance Day to lead us into our service this morning?
I think thinking about Remembrance Day, contemplating what has happened in the past and the many people that died in that, and one of the things that is needed on the estate is a quiet area for contemplation, and we are moving to try and get that for the centenary.
That would be fabulous that we have that for the centenary in 2 years' time. Thank you, Connie, for joining us on Spotlight this morning, and everyone please stay to hear our remembrance service on Alive 90.5 as we remember the fallen.
Thank you.
Alive 90.5.